Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? I'm going to have mercy on you by not singing it. But were you there? It's one of the most prominent and popular of the African-American spirituals. And like most of those spirituals, its origins are impossible to trace. But it was first published in 1899 in William E. Barton's Old Plantation Songs. It's been recorded many times by Marianne Williams, Harry Belafonte, Johnny Cash, Phil Keaggy, and later on we hope to hear part of a version by Andrea Thomas. And in an article about the song, David Bjorlin writes this. He says, "The series of questions that forms the basis of the song is obviously not meant to be taken literally. None of us were physically present at the Passion of Christ. Rather, the questions are meant to function as a form of anamnesis. From the Greek, anamnesis literally means to remember. And yet it's much more than simple mental recall of an event. It calls the community to remember the past to the present, to bring these historic events to bear on the now and make them part of our story. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross?" Simon from Cyrene was there. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. Simon was forced or pressed, as in the old press gangs, pressed into carrying the cross and doing service to Jesus. And under the Julian Code, Roman soldiers could require a citizen to carry goods for 1 mile. And the Jews bitterly resented it. But when Jesus told his followers that if they're asked to carry for a mile, to go 2 miles. Remember that story in the Sermon on the Mount? And in so doing, Jesus, as always, was being so countercultural. You bitterly resent going 1 mile, but let me tell you, go 2 miles. Show grace. Step outside the box. A tradition has it that Simon from Cyrene became a believer. And certainly in Mark's Gospel, we're told in Mark 15:21 that he was Simon. He was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And these were names that were clearly well known to the early church when Mark was writing. So perhaps Simon did come to faith. Some of you may be here today because of such a chance meeting. Someone spoke to you about Jesus. Somebody invited you along to a meeting or to church when you were just minding your own business. But you came and you believed. And now sometimes you say, "Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. I was there when they crucified my Lord." Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Roman soldiers were there. They led Jesus out to be crucified, pressed Simon into service, and when they got to Golgotha, the place of the skull, the soldiers offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. This was a kind of drug to help lessen the pain. Well-to-do ladies in Jerusalem used to mix it and provide it for criminals who are being crucified as a help to them, the dying criminals. But Jesus tasted and then refused it. He went to bear the full brunt of the cross and all its physical brutality and spiritual darkness. Nothing would deter him from fully completing the Father's will. And then the soldiers crucified him. It's interesting that none of the four gospel writers major on the details. Everyone in those days knew of the agony and the humiliation of the cross, the most excruciating of Roman deaths. What Matthew does do is he uses Psalm 22 as a backdrop to the cross. And we can imagine Jesus crying out from Psalm 22, 14, 15, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint." There's a hint there. "My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death." Then the soldiers divided his clothes by casting lots. And another fulfillment of Psalm 22, 18 and 19. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. The soldiers then just sit down to keep watch over him. In Psalm 22, 16 and 17, dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. And above his head, they place the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And none of them got the irony nor the truth of that placard. These were hard men, hardened in body, hardened in mind, hardened in heart. Crucifixion was just in a day's work. What were you doing today, dear? Oh, I was crucifying three criminals. This crucifixion was just like any other and had no impact on them. Or maybe just in one of them. In a few verses' time that we look at next week, Matthew will write that when Jesus died, the centurion in charge of the soldier said, surely he was the Son of God, or surely this was a righteous man. Now, whatever the centurion meant by that has been speculated on for hundreds of years. But it does seem that Jesus had some impact on this hardened soldier. And there are many in our world today, perhaps even here today, who have been hardened through life, hardened in mind and heart. Maybe we see folk like this in our workplace, in college, in school even. And we think, how would such a person ever come to faith in Jesus? How would I ever speak to them about Jesus? How would we ever talk to them? Perhaps you maybe even see yourself there, older and more cynical, more sceptical, hardened by life. This man, Jesus, dying on the cross means very little, really. But maybe, just maybe, like the centurion, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it makes me tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Passers-by were there. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross if you're the Son of God. And we see plenty of folk like this today, shallow in their understanding, passing by, other things to do, no time to stop and think, no time to look a little deeper, happy to jump on the bandwagon, follow the social media trends, the common opinion, whatever's out there, dance to my tune, show me a big miracle, allow my lottery ticket to win and maybe I'll think about it. Just get on with life, living in the shallows, happy to poke fun at Jesus and those who follow him. Psalm 22, 6 and 7. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. Oh, sometimes it makes me tremble. Tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Chief priests, teachers of the law, and the elders were there. In the same way, the chief priests, teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Here we have the self-righteous, the self-satisfied, the self-made, secure in their own status, secure in their own education, secure in their own intellectualism, secure in their position in life and in society, confirmed in their own assessment of Jesus, content to sit in judgment over him, middle-class man and woman. In the only 12 verses in this passage, Jesus is referred to as the King of the Jews, the temple builder, the Son of God twice, and the King of Israel. Some of the highest titles for Christ Jesus used in the New Testament. Do you think Matthew is maybe wanting to make a point? And their mockery actually reinforces his kingship. Psalm 22, verse 8. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And I wonder how many today sit in lordship over Christ Jesus, happy to voice their opinion about who he is and what he has done, maybe what he should have done if he had listened to me, how he should take my advice. In essence, what they're doing really is setting their views, their opinions, their understanding, their values and standards as supreme, and judging Jesus according to them. In short, playing God with God. And writing to the Galatians, Paul said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And what a frightening thing that would be, to be judged by our own standards. How many of us live up to what we believe are the right values and standards for people to live by? I mean, I may well say to myself, you know, that's ridiculous, people doing that. You never catch me doing that. And yet the very seeds of that same thing are in my own heart and mind. And many of us actually live up to our own standards. And what if God decided to judge us on the basis of our own standards, let alone the basis of his perfect eternal standards? Perhaps that's where we are today, judging Jesus by our own opinions and values, playing God with God. Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. 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 Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Two rebels or robbers were there. In the same way the rebels or robbers were crucified with him, also heaped insults on him. And Luke, in his version, tells us the story of how one of the rebels turned to Jesus in faith, but Matthew focuses on the mockery. Even those who were in it with him turned on him. There's no so-called honour among thieves here, even though Jesus wasn't a thief. From the highest to the lowest of society, they rejected Jesus. From his own people to foreigners from Rome, they rejected Jesus. And we see here the total rejection of Jesus by Jews and Gentiles alike. Bystanders, authorities, even criminals. Symbolically, the whole of humanity is represented. The whole of humanity rejecting Jesus. He came to those who were his own and they didn't even recognize him, but crucified him. All of them were there when they crucified my Lord. And it's precisely because Jesus is the Son of God and accepted the Father's will and loved us so much that he did not come down from the cross or call in legions of angels to help him. Dick France, writing about this, he says, the shocking paradox of a crucified Messiah could hardly be more sharply underlined. Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. 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 Were you there when they crucified my Lord? In this sense, folks, all of us were there. The entirety of rebellious, rejecting, separated, sinful humanity were there, for it was as if the Father took down that placard saying King of the Jews, and in its place he put another placard, and on that placard was written all of the sins of each one of us, of the whole world for all time. Colossians 2 puts it this way, and you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Think of all you've ever thought, said, done by commission and omission in all of your life, all written there and nailed to the cross above Jesus' head. And there he stayed, nailed for us. further on in that article I mentioned earlier by David Bjorlin, he tells a story of when the African-American pastor, author, and civil rights leader Howard Thurman, he and his wife Sue visited India, and they met and visited Mahatma Gandhi there in his ashram. And to their surprise, just before they left, Gandhi asked a favour. He said, "Will you sing one of your songs for me? Will you sing 'Were You There When They Crucified My Lord'? I feel that this song gets to the root of the experience of the entire human race under the spreading of the healing wings of suffering." And the song, let's bear in mind, was born out of the suffering of African Americans. Bjorlin quotes James Cone, and he says, "In the mystery of God's revelation, black Christians believed that just knowing that Jesus went through an experience of suffering in a manner similar to theirs gave them faith that God was with them, even in suffering on lynching trees, just as God was present with Jesus and suffering on the cross. The one who was the King of Israel, the Son of God, did this for us. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He refused to come down from the cross, but stayed there and took the pain and the darkness that we might be saved. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Simon was there by chance or divine chance. Hardened, toughened, tough-minded Roman soldiers were there. Shallow, couldn't care less passers-by were there. Self-righteous, self-confident, arrogant religious leaders were there. Even two of society's rejects were there. In truth, we were all there when they crucified my Lord. We were all there, ignoring, trivializing, insulting, mocking, crucifying him. Your hand and mine were on the hammer as we banged in the nails, which were meant for us, but which he took freely for us. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. 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 Were you there when they crucified my Lord?